Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover. And basically for the fourth week of the month, I've been going through a series that I put together a couple years ago called Radical Faith. And we've been talking about, again, radical faith, living in such a way due to our faith that the world actually stops and takes notice because of our actions are such a way that is pretty much completely different from how the world is, but also completely different from how the world believes Christians should be as well. And in discussing this radical faith, we have looked at Noah and the crazy task that he was given because of his faith in order to basically save a remnant of all the life on Earth by basically building a giant boat in the middle of a desert. And then last time we discussed Abraham and the unknown journey that he embarked on when answering the call to basically leave everything that was familiar to him and go to destinations unknown, all because of promises given to him from what was previously an unknown deity. And this month I want to ask, have you ever felt called to something, ministry, an action, a task, a job, that, or to act in such a way because of your faith that you knew it would be, that you knew there was going to be a hardship, that if you actually followed what you were called to do, you would experience? Again, maybe it was something that you previously were one that may have given people a hard time for what you feel that you're now called to do. And the person who I want to look at this month, which if you saw the announcement episode, you pretty much know who I'm going to be talking about. Basically, he walked into his faith in God, his faith in Christ, with basically eyes wide open, knowing what to expect from those who around him and the persecution to expect. And this was because he was actually one of those that was going around and persecuting people because of their faith. And for those of you that either don't already know or haven't figured it out, the person that I want to talk about this time is Paul. You see, Paul, before becoming a Christian, before coming to faith, was one of the people going around arresting and having Christians killed because of their faith. He was actually the one that all of the Pharisees laid their cloaks at the feet of to serve as witness when they stoned Stephen. Yet, basically, when he came to faith, he was also not one to back down, even though he knew full and well what persecutions he could expect. I mean, being one of the chief people going around arresting and having Christians killed, from the Jewish perspective, he knew how the Jews and the religious, basically religious leaders, were going to treat him because of his newfound faith. So the first thing to ask really is, who was Paul? And to take a look at that, when we're first introduced to Paul, it was, again, before he came to faith, and it was in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, where we read, they threw him out of the city, talking about Stephen, and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Again, this was when Stephen was stoned to death for his faith and actually became the first Christian martyr. And really, in this in the passage that this verse is found, Saul was in attendance with a number of other Jews that basically heard Stephen preach. And basically heard Stephen preach against them, using the law as evidence against them. As a result, the Jews decided to stone Stephen. And Paul, known at this time by his Jewish name, which was Saul, stood in favor of the verdict by basically guarding the outer garments of those performing the stoning. And then further on, in chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, we see that Saul agreed with putting him to death. On that day, severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, however, was ravaging the church. He would enter house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. So we see that Saul not only consented to the murder of Stephen, but also actively persecuted the church. The word that's used for ravaging was basically the same word to use to describe the action of a wild boar going in and destroying a vineyard. Saul, similarly, was working at trying to destroy the church. So, who exactly was this zealous persecutor of the church? Most of what we know about Saul, or about Paul, comes from basically the numerous times he provided his testimony. In Acts 22:3-4, he continued, I am a Jewish man, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and educated according to the strict view of our patriarchal law, being zealous for God, just as all of you are today, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women in jail. And then in Philippians 3:5-6, he states about himself that he was circumcised on the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that was in the law, blameless. So we see in these two passages that, one, Paul was from a city known as Tarsus. And in other areas, it's actually mentioned that he was born a Roman citizen. And not only but he was also born and raised a Jew and was taught to follow the law, basically in such a way to become one of the Pharisees, which were the one of the two groups that were the religious leaders at the time. And in regards to his persecution of the church, he was basically doing it, believing that what he was doing was actually God's will. So that was basically that was Paul before he became a Christian. The question is pretty much what caused him to go from being one of the main persecutors of the Christian faith to become one of the persecuted Christians and actually become one of the greatest Christian missionaries, really. Well, he had what I like to call a 2x4 to the upside, basically to the back of the head experience. You know, that thing where the only way to kind of get your attention is someone to kind of just smack you upside the back of the head. That's pretty much what Paul's experience was. And we see that in Acts 9, 1 through 9. Where we actually read about Paul's conversion experience as it happened. Or as it happens. He recounts it a couple of other times throughout the book of Acts. But in Acts 9, 1 through 9, we read, "Meanwhile, Saul, while still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and requested from him to the synagogues in Damascus." He went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground as he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he said. "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting," he replied. "But get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound, but seeing no one. Then Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus, where he was unable to see for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Then, after receiving his sight back, eat and drink was the end of the passage, but basically after receiving his sight back and after being baptized, we find in Acts 9:19 through 22, Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some days. Immediately, he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. "He is the Son of God." But all who heard him were astounded and said, "Isn't this the man who in Jerusalem was destroying those who called on this name, and then came here for the purpose of taking them prisoners to the chief priests?" But Saul grew more capable and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that this one is the Messiah. So, this was who Paul was and how he came to faith. But what about his faith exactly? What can we actually learn from Paul's faith? Well, the first thing we can take notice is what he actually says in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and also to the Greek. So we see that Paul, even from the start, lived out this concept. In Acts 9:20, it stated, immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. Now, if there was any person that could think of a reason to be ashamed to proclaim the gospel or to kind of hide the fact that he had become a Christian, it was Paul. Paul was one of them out there persecuting Christians up to that point. I mean, before becoming a Christian, he considered himself basically a Jew's Jew. If there was a rock star type Pharisee, as far as popularity goes, that were looked at as role models, Paul probably would have been one of them. So Paul also knew exactly the trouble that proclaiming the gospel would cause, and that, again, was because he was one bringing the persecution. He also experienced persecution straight from the onset. And the passage in Acts 9, verses 23 and 24, after many days had passed, the Jews conspired to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, so they were watching the gates night and day, intending to kill him. See, this instance is basically right at the start of Paul's ministry, and yet it did not deter him. And 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 27, Paul mentions to the Corinthian church of what he suffered due to his faith. Are they servants of Christ? I'm talking like a madman. I am a better one, with far more labors, many more imprisonments, far worse beatings, near death many times. 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods by the Romans. 1 I was stoned by my enemies. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, dangers on the sea, and dangers among false brothers. I abhor labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and lacking clothing. So, again, Paul, knowing what it would cost him, was, again, unashamed to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And that's not the only aspect of Paul's faith we can look at. He also understood that our faith would produce fruit. What I mean is that Paul knew that good works would actually result from one's faith. I mean, people often think of the term works, and Paul, they usually think of Ephesians 2:8-9. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. But people often ignore, really, the next verse. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. So, in case you didn't see that, in verse 9 we're told we're not saved by works, but then verse 10 states that we were made for good works. And there are, basically, for being someone who's often quoted for basically or is used to say you don't need to do any, basically, once you have faith, that's all you need. You don't have to worry about doing anything else. Paul actually talks a lot about, because of our faith, our lives should be living out that faith by doing good works, by growing in holiness, growing more and more like Christ. See, what Paul is getting at is that our salvation does not come from works. It doesn't come from following the Jewish law, but rather our actions will prove our faith, much like with Abraham, Noah, and all the other people of faith that we find in the Bible. It wasn't what they did that saved them. It was, they did what they did because of their salvation, because of their love for God. And we also see from this verse that Paul recognized that really our faith is not our own, but rather it's actually the Holy Spirit working in us. I mean, we can't really fully come to faith in Christ until the Holy Spirit draws on us. Until the Holy Spirit does basically his work of regeneration in us, which is another message for another time that will probably be one of the first ones I do when I separate these messages out to their own podcast. But what I mean here, in a nutshell, is that on my own, I cannot, and really, well, what this is kind of getting at is, I cannot and do not really want to talk anyone into faith. As another pastor I've heard said, if I can talk you into faith, someone could come right along behind me and just as easily talk you out of it. But also, as with Abraham and Noah, it's also worth to mention that Paul did have some faults. And while we don't really see any of them specifically after he came to faith, we do see that he did have some sort of struggle. There are some that say he's not talking about himself. Others will say he is, in Romans 7:15 through 17, where he goes, "For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but sin living in me." So, like many of us, even though Paul was probably one of the greatest missionaries, he more likely had struggles with sin. And really, if that verse wasn't enough to illustrate it, he also mentions his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12:7. "Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. But as a result of this, Paul came to the realization that found in 2 Corinthians 12:10. So I take pleasure in weakness, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, with that thorn in the flesh thing, Paul, in the passage, it mentions Paul asking three times for God to take that thorn in the flesh away. Whether it was actually a physical infirmity or a sin, again, it's unclear. But he asks God to take it away three times, and God's response to him is that God's grace is sufficient. For in Paul's weakness, God's strength basically is shown. So, what can we take away from this? First thing we need to remember is that in everything we endure because of our faith in Christ, God is there with us. As in 2 Corinthians 12:9 indicates, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. In other words, God is always with us no matter what we're going through. Next, we basically need to remember that our faith is to produce fruit. Again, while we're not saved by the works that we do, our faith should compel us to act in such a way to show our faith. I mean, if you remember way back, I did a message on holiness, looking at 1 Peter 3:15, where basically our holiness is the outward manifestation of our hope within. That's what this fruit is. This fruit is our holiness, the outward manifestation, the outward showing of that hope we have within us. And finally, we're to be unashamed to share the gospel, as Jesus stated in Luke 9:26, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and that the Father and the holy angel and that of the Father and the holy angels. If there was anyone that knew the advantage to keep quiet about his faith, it was Paul. Yet he boldly proclaimed Christ everywhere he went. And as Christians, we really need to have that same attitude of fearing God and what he thinks about us over others and what they might think about us. So let me finish off by leaving you with these closing thoughts. If you are a Christian, what is keeping you from living out your faith? Is it fear of what others may think of you? Or that they may actively persecute you? Or, if you aren't a Christian, are you hesitant to take that step of faith because of fear about what others may think or do? Remember, Paul was unashamed, yet he willingly faced persecution from both believers and non-believers. And he stepped into it knowing full well he was to expect that. The believers, basically, he received persecution from mainly because they actually didn't believe that he had changed. I mean, one second he's breathing down their necks, threatening them, about to arrest them, and then the next second he's praising God, saying Jesus is the Messiah. And the non-believers were wanting to persecute him again because of the message he carried, that Jesus was the Messiah. Again, if there was anyone that had reason to keep quiet about the hope within him, it was Paul. Yet he boldly proclaimed and lived out the gospel, which is what we are to do as well. So, again, this is Chuck Groover. That was The Faith of Paul. And that's God at Work.
Thank you for listening to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at God at Work Podcast. If you have comments, suggestions, or a story you would like to be considered for the podcast, you can email us at stories@godatworkpodcast.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support us, go to patreon.com/godatworkpodcast, or you can also support us by leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith, is brought to you by Becoming God's Man Ministries, and is recorded and produced by me, Chuck Groover. Theme music for God at Work is by the band 39 Stripes and can be found at facebook.com/39stripes. And again, thank you for listening.